Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, if you weren't here last week, and you don't have social media, and you send all of our church emails directly to the trash, then there may be something that you don't know. And that is this, is that at the end of the year, Philip and I are moving into a new position here in the community. We are moving out of our position of lead pastors into a new position we're calling leadership pastors. And what I discovered when I told my daughter this is that no one knows what that means. And she goes, "What the heck is a leadership pastor?" And I said, "Don't say heck." And she was like, "That was not the point of my question." And I said, "I know, but that was the point of my parenting, and so it's okay." But some of you may be more familiar with the concept of a teaching pastor. So we are going to be preaching about a third of the time here, and we're still going to be on the board, and we're still going to be speaking into the vision of North Point. And why we're doing this is because we really feel like God has called us to train and develop leaders full time, both in the corporate world and in the church world. God's been opening those doors, and we believe that that's what we're called to do. And we're people, right, here at North Point, who do what God has called us to do. And I'm so happy that in the midst of that new calling, that we have an opportunity for this to continue to be our home church, for us to continue to be here with you and be able to lean in. And the reason that's possible is because our new lead pastors, Dr. Denny and Dr. Sarah Duran, are making that possible. And they want us to be a part, and they want us to lean into this wonderful community. And I'm so grateful for that. On Wednesday night, they came over and they spoke, and it was incredible. If you were here, you know it was incredible. It was amazing how just the power of God was present in the room, how much energy and enthusiasm there was. And so we're hoping to put that talk and make it available to everybody in the coming days. But today, we are starting a new series that's going to be going for the next few weeks as we walk together into this new season. And the name of the series is Full Strength. Full Strength. Because if we are people who believe that we're better together, if we're people who believe that the best is yet to come, we want to walk into every new at full strength. We don't ever want to be the people who like are a wait and see people. Right. Well, I'll just wait and see. I don't know. No, that's not who we are. We're people who walk into every new season at full strength. And as I was just mulling this concept, because we've been talking about that this is what we were going to speak on, full strength, for several months, and Philip and I have been praying into it. And as we were thinking about it, the scripture that really came to mind is found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And so the Apostle Paul, one of the leaders of the early church, is writing a letter to one of the early churches. And this is how he is closing this incredible letter, which, by the way, the book of Ephesians is very, very short to read. So if you ever want to read or listen to it, you can almost listen to the whole thing just on like a morning drive. And it is so beautiful, and it has so much truth for us. But this is what it says. Chapter 6, 10 through 18. Finally, this is in the NIV, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Anybody ever feel like they're wrong? You know what I mean? Like you're going through something and you're like, are you sure it's not against flesh and blood, but this is the truth. This is what we've decided to build our life on. And what it says is our struggle's not against flesh and blood. Right. It doesn't say, well, sometimes it's against flesh and blood. It says it is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Somebody says pray. In the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Isn't that beautiful? And this is the thing, is that we could spend a year on this passage. I mean, it's deep, it's rich, it's beautiful, but what it's pointing us to is that there is more than what we can see. And we know that. We know that. Because why is it so hard, right, to like do the simple right thing? Why is it that when you go to open the YouVersion app and just read, there's just this, anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like there's, you remember everything that you had to do? Or even if you don't, there's just this resistance for a moment that you have to break through. Why? Because there's more than what you can see. Why is it that when we know a good to do, we don't just do it? I mean, because there's more to this than what we can see. And if there is more to this than what we can see, then this is bigger than us. Then this is bigger than us. I really like the Message paraphrase, and I like it because sometimes it takes abstract principles and kind of throws them in your face. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to read this paraphrase of this passage for you. I just want to see if it hits you a little bit different. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. Somebody say amen. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war. That's why we say that we're not a church for Sunday. That's right. It's because this is no weekend war. This is no weekend war that we'll just walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life and death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. If there was one truth that I want you to take away today, it's that you are up against far more than you can handle on your own. But the good news is this, you don't have to do it on your own.
That's right.
Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued. So that when it's all over but the shouting, this is why I love paraphrases, is because they like throw things like that in, right? When it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. I don't know about you, but I still want to be on my feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Hey, so that no one falls behind or drops out. So no one falls behind or drops out. Is that not beautiful? It so struck me. Anybody have like small kids and you have to watch Trolls a lot? I'm sorry, we can have a support group later, right? There's this one part in Trolls, and if you've never seen Trolls, I can't recommend it, but it is cute. And so there's this one part like where the king is like rescuing all of the trolls from like being eaten because they're, anyway, it's a very long story, all that to say. He's like rescuing the trolls, and he starts yelling, "No troll left behind," right? Somebody's having like a flashback, right? It's like, "No troll left behind." And it was so funny because I realized that I've seen it too many times, because when I read this and it said, keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out, it was like in my head, I could see this little like orange troll going, "No trolls left behind." But can I just be real when I say that? That's like from the bottom of my heart. What I want to scream to all of us is no one left behind. No one left behind. No one gets left behind. We link arms and we say, "Oh, you're having a really bad year. That's okay. I've had a bad year before. I've had two. Okay, you can lean on me right now, but we're not leaving you behind. You're going to walk into the new season with me." As a community, we're going to be asking some questions during this series. And it's two questions, and really it's the tension of following Jesus. Because, see, there's different philosophies in the world, and some of them are highly individualistic. And so what they say is that every person is exclusively responsible for their outcome. Okay, so everything is up to you. Okay, so we are, even though we are more city than like, I don't know, Haynesville, we are still rural people. Okay, we are still agrarian. We are still that. And so our mentality tends to be, we rely on us, right? And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying we have to be aware of like the culture we're sitting in. Right? It's just up to us. It's just us. Leave me alone. I'm going to do my thing. And you do your thing. You take care of you. I take care of me. Right? And so this highly individualistic culture. Then you have cultures that are more communal. And so it's up to community. So everything is about the community. Everything is, and this makes more sense in highly urban settings where your life is so heavily impacted by the people that you're living next to. There isn't enough room for you just to be focused on you. Like your life is it's impacted by your, upstairs neighbor, your downstairs neighbor. It's impacted by the street. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you have these two cultures, but this is the thing about the kingdom of God, is it's not either. It's both at their extreme. Now hear me, this is actually really important, and it will help bring unity to you with other people in the body of Christ. Because right now, you have people yelling at each other from factions. Yes. But the body of Christ says both are 100% true. It's not 50% individualistic and 50% community. It's 100% of both. You are 100% responsible for your life. And you are 100% responsible for carrying those around you. Yes. Guys, that's intense. Because it makes different people mad. No, it really does. It's true. It makes different people mad. It's true. See, I can say that first one, and I could get like, amen, right? And then I could say the second one, and I could get, amen, right? And I could say that first one harder and somebody would be like, you tell them. And I could say that second one harder and be like, that's right, that's reality. You know, and you would have people. But this is the thing. Can we get in agreement with what God says and say amen to both?
Yes, yes, that's it.
Yes. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to have a mentality that is both. And so that's why we're going to be asking two questions during this series. One is, what does it look like for you to live at full strength? What does it look like for you to live at full strength? And then what does it look like for this community to be or live at full strength? So what does it look like for you? But then what does it look like for this community? And the thing is that it's all kind of intertwined, and it's really interesting because for you to be in full strength, your community is going to have an impact on you, but you're going to have to choose your community. Does that make sense? But for this community to be at full strength, you're going to have to choose to do your part. So it requires us to hold these tensions and to live that way. And so Philip's going to be working out all of those details. But I'm going to start with the foundation. Because when we talk about full strength, when we read those scriptures, there is a foundation, there is an assumption to all of it. See, you can't just start by trying to do everything that's in that scripture. There's an assumption to it. Full strength starts with trust. Full strength starts with trust. See, if we want to be full strength in our own lives, if we want to be full strength in this community, then we have to trust God because he's our foundation.
Yes.
See, trust is about accepting who God is. There's three words about God that tell you about, like, the nature of God that I just want to throw in there today. One is omniscient. God is all-knowing. That's important. If you're going to trust God, you want him to be all-knowing.
That's right.
You want him to know the details you don't know.
That's right.
You want him to be looking at the big picture. And there's omnipotent. That means all-powerful. So God is all-powerful. We believe that he is all-knowing. We also believe that he is all-powerful. And because he is all powerful, he can do anything.
That's right.
And then there's omnipresent. And that means he is everywhere. This is incredibly important.
Yes.
Because there are times where we do not feel like God is with us. But if we trust the nature of God, if we trust that he is all-knowing, if we trust that he is all-powerful, if we trust that he is present everywhere, then we have a foundation for becoming full strength. Because we also have to trust what he says about us. And we have to trust what he says about us because we are not all-knowing, we are not all-powerful, and we are not present everywhere. Even though it sometimes feels like as a mom that you have to pretend like you are. Anybody ever like fake out their kids by telling them you have cameras planted all over the house and you really know what's going on? Follow me for more parenting hacks. Anyway, we aren't those things, and yet God has some things to say about us. We talk about them in the declaration, right? We say, you know, I am a child of God. Yeah. Where are we getting that from? You know, I've been seeing all this stuff on Instagram that's like, you're worthy. No matter where you are, you're worthy. That is not a biblical concept on any level. We are righteous because of God's sacrifice.
Only.
That's what Christians believe. We believe, like, at the core of who we are, that what God says about us is what matters.
Yes.
And he says some pretty incredible things. You know, we say, I am a child of God. I am loved. He says that about you. Adored, right? All of these different things. I'm more than a conqueror. That's what he says about you. Full of the Spirit of God. If you're following Jesus, that's what he says of you, right? And I can do all things right? All of those. That's what he says about you. But we are constantly in this tug of war between what we know about us and what he says about us.
Yes.
And what other people have said to us. And so when we read in the Word of God that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but then society tells us that we should reject our bodies because our minds feel a certain way,
my mind.
We have a moment where we have to choose, are we going to trust God or not? Because it's a trust issue. It's who do you believe? Do you believe other human beings who are not all-knowing and are not all-powerful and are not present everywhere? Or do you believe this God who we say is?
Yes.
And so if we want to be at full strength as a community, if we want to be at full strength as Jesus followers, we have to first settle this issue of trust. And you may say, I've settled it before. I know, I'm a circular settler too. Philip is like this. When he makes a decision, the decision is made. Do you, anybody like that? Hey, all of you people who, yes, I know Dr. D's, you are too. That's where he got it from, and that's Carolina. The D's genes are very, very strong. But, like, he's just settled. So when he decided to follow Jesus, he decided, and he never decided again. I decide every Tuesday. So I tell you that to say it's okay to be a circular settler. But you still have to settle it.
Yes.
And every time it comes back up, you have to settle it again.
Yes.
And you have to learn how to settle it faster.
Yes, that's it. Right.
You have to learn how to settle it faster. You have to learn how to get to truth faster. Maybe it takes you 6 months the first time. Maybe it takes you three.
Right.
But we've got to start settling it faster to remind ourselves that we trust God because of who he is. And that because of who he is, we trust who he says we are.
That's it.
But then there's this other step of we have to trust his why for the universe. Okay?
Yeah.
Now listen, you will not have good outcomes if you try to trust God because of who he is and you try to trust, right, what he says about you, but you don't trust his why for the universe because nothing will ever make sense. Nothing will ever make sense because it'll be like, well, every bad thing that happens happens because of a lack of faith. That's what that outcome, do you see what I'm saying? And that's not true.
Right.
Christians have an intense and beautiful theology of suffering.
That's right.
It's intense and it's beautiful.
Yes.
Because we don't see suffering as a failure of God.
That's right.
We see God in the midst of our suffering.
That's right.
That is completely different.
It's different.
But see, God has a why for the universe. And it sounds, if we were going to like encapsulate it, it would sound like to bring God glory. But I don't know about you, but I don't understand that. Not fully.
Yeah.
I get glimpses sometimes. But I think that God's why for the universe is part of the mystery that we spend our lives learning about. We start to get, and we're like, okay, it's to give God glory. And we just keep learning. It's like this, it's this long process of revealing himself to us. Because the more that we understand about God, the more we understand about his why for the universe. But these are two things we know for sure. It's generational, and it's not about me.
Period.
No, this is important.
Very good.
Because it's generational, and it's not about me. Now, I'm not saying it's not about you in the way that I would like say, you know, hey, what you talking about? It's not about you. Like, go sit over there, okay? I haven't done that to anyone in this room, but I have done it to my children many times. But do you understand what I'm saying? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it as a way to sideline you. I'm trying to make sure that we understand our role in the universe. We are not the main player. We are not the core of the story. Everything is not judged from our vantage point. Life and the universe and the way that God has created everything is not like trying to align to get us our most happiest outcome. And the scripture says that so clearly. It says that if you want to gain your life, you're going to have to lose it. But if you seek to hold on to your life, then, right? Because it's not about us. And our stories are misaligned when we put ourselves as the main character. But our stories suddenly fall into place when we put him as the main character. When we understand it's generational. That there is a storyline here that is taking thousands of years to be revealed. That there's a storyline in your family that will take hundreds of years to be revealed. And we can see it a little bit when we look back at legacies that were changed. But when we're in the middle of a legacy being changed, it just looks messy. But we have to trust God. And I think back to some of the beginnings of my family's Christian legacy, and I wonder what they were thinking at the time. My great-grandmother, many of you know this, was a bootlegger. It's very exciting to say that, right? So she ran alcohol during the Prohibition. And I mean, if I didn't think that wasn't a good thing, I would think that was pretty cool. But she was a bootlegger, and she was a violent woman, and she was a crude woman, and she was a woman who like had 13 children by the time she was like 36, and then her husband died and left her completely impoverished, and she was a broken woman. She was a traumatized woman. She was still a traumatized child. And God intervened in her situation through a divine healing, through an encounter with some insane Pentecostals who said that there was more to life. And my legacy was changed, but don't you know that it just looked messy? This little woman walking around a town where she used to be the party girl, where she used to be the one who supplied the alcohol to every single place, where that's who she was known as. And she's walking around this little town, and she can't even speak English hardly at all because she spoke French. And she's walking around, and she's illiterate. She can't read the Bible. She just holds on to it and walks around her house and prays, and it had to look messy. But I look back and I was like, that wasn't messy. That was a foundational chapter in the story.
That's right.
But it's not just about my family. Because of her moment, there are people all over the world whose lives have been changed.
Come on.
It's a really big story. And so when we choose to trust God with the why of the universe, we are leaning into who he is, because we're going, your why is big enough for a being that is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. You see everybody at the same time, and you are not confused. You work good from every bad situation, and you are not overwhelmed. So I choose to trust you with my life.
Yes, very good.
If we want to move into full strength, we're going to have to choose trust. The second thing is this, is full strength requires obedience. Full strength requires obedience. You can come and strum the guitar now. Just letting y'all know. All right, great. Full strength requires obedience. What I love in this passage is it's talking about how God's strong and he wants you strong. And it's talking about all this supernatural stuff like devils and angels and all of this. And then it gets really, really practical. And it says, you put on the armor of God. It's like you. It's that individualism again, right? And it's like, hey, you put on the armor of God. You choose to pray. You, and then in the paraphrase, what does it say? It says, you put these things into practice. Yes. You learn how truth and salvation and patience and grace and all of these things are actually going to be applied. And see, a lot of times we see obedience in terms of just not doing the big bad things. You know what I mean? Like the big bad things. The things people talk about or they notice. Or we see obedience as doing the big good things. But see, armor's meant to be worn daily. And everything about Christianity really is daily. You can go all the way through. You can just study the word daily or every day in Jesus' teachings, and it's kind of overwhelming. It says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And you can just go through over and over and over again. And sometimes it's just overwhelming to think, oh, I have to be the person who does. No, it's about your habits. It's about what do you do every day. See, obedience doesn't start with like just the big stuff. It's the little stuff. It's choosing to live according to your beliefs in every area. It's becoming the kind of person who. Harvard did this really interesting study about forgiveness. And the study went like this. They studied people who were able to forgive really huge traumas. So this would be like the moms and the dads who were able to forgive the murderer of their child. Okay? Like, so they take these massive traumas, these really huge things, and they started studying these people. Like, what was common about these people? And what they found is interesting because I think it has really heavy implications on being at full strength. People who can forgive big things are people who practice forgiving small things every day. And when you look at the Jesus way of life, that's exactly who Jesus calls us to be. There's a passage in the Bible where Jesus says it's reasonable to forgive one person for doing the same thing in a day 70 times 7 times. That comes out to about every 2 minutes. When I talk about full strength requiring obedience, I'm talking about learning how to practice our faith every day. Instead of saving patience for those big moments, I'm talking about choosing patience in the little moments. Instead of saving grace for the big moments, I'm talking about practicing it in the little moments. You guys know I've been on this like working out journey thing, right? I haven't worked out in a month. And all of a sudden, my back started hurting again. Like, I haven't had back pain since like February. All of a sudden, my back started hurting really bad, and I realized what it was. I had stopped doing the weekly and daily practices that were keeping me strong. If you want to be at full strength, it's going to It's going to require obedience. And you know what the hard part of that is it's going to require obedience again. Because on Tuesday, I get to walk back in the gym. And I don't want to. But I want to be the kind of person who's strong and has energy and feels good. I want to be that kind of person. So I'm willing to submit to the daily and weekly practices that will make me strong. What are those practices for you? What is it that God's been speaking to you? Is it in your budget? Have you gotten into the I deserve mentality when it comes to money instead of like following along what the Bible actually says about money, being a good steward, being somebody who lives with enough margin so that they can be generous? Is it in your relationships? Have you gotten sloppy in the way that you care for those in your life? And you know the power of life and death's in the tongue, but, oh, I was just joking, but you're being so cruel and you're putting those seeds of doubt even in your kid's mind of their worth, and you don't even realize what you're doing, and your mom did it and your grandma did it. It's time to start a new legacy, but it's going to require obedience. And then finally, full strength is a journey. Full strength is a journey that does not stop. Full strength is a journey that does not stop. It is not a destination. It is a lifestyle. If we want to be full strength as individuals, it's going to be a lifestyle. If we want to be full strength as this community, if we want to have enough people and more than enough people discipling our kids on Wednesday nights, it's going to have to be a lifestyle. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a journey. You get there, but then you just have to stay there. So you just have to continue. And then God wants to expand your capacity and all of a sudden you have to grow again. And you know what journeys with God require? Patience. And you know how you get patience? By being patient. But what I love is this. Is that when I trust God, and what he says about me, and what he says about the timeline, I don't feel frantic. And I can be patient with the process of becoming full strength and staying full strength. This is what I want for me, guys. This is what I want for you. I want us to be at full strength individually, and I want us to be at full strength corporately. Because there's more for us to do. There's more for us to do. Will you stand with me? I'm going to throw the lead acrostic up there. You can take a picture if you like that. And you can all tell Philip, if he makes it to the doors, that I had a lead acrostic, okay? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, just for a moment, we're just going to have a moment of quiet with God. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Full strength requires trust. It requires obedience, and it's a journey. And I think that probably the biggest example of all three of those is the concept of forgiveness that we talked about. There's a reason why it's foundational to our relationship with God, and there's a reason why he says, if I'm going to forgive you, you have to forgive others. Because it requires us to trust him, it requires us to obey him, and it is a journey, because forgiveness is rarely a one-time thing. We have to forgive again when that thought comes back up. We have to forgive again when that offense happens again. We have to forgive again. I could go into all of the different things, about forgiveness doesn't mean that you continue to give people access, all of those things. I'm not doing that right now because I just feel in my heart that there are people in this room who you know you need to forgive and you're ready to be at full strength. You're tired of hurting in places that you don't have to hurt anymore. And you know, but it's hard. So if you say, I want to trust God, I want to obey, I want to go on this journey of forgiveness, and I want it to start right now, I just want you to raise your hand right now, and I'm going to pray for you and lead you in a prayer. You say, there's somebody in my life, I know I need to forgive them. You may have forgiven them 30 times, but you're just sitting here going, oh, I know, I need to forgive them. I'm just going to wait one more moment. Because I feel like it's important for some of you to get that hand up because it's something that's just, that's deep in your heart. Maybe it's not even just a person. Maybe it's an entire group of people. Maybe it's even yourself. All right. We're going to pray this prayer together. And when I get to the part where I say, I forgive, I'm going to stop. And you're just going to say that person's name. If you're sitting next to them, maybe don't say their name really loudly, okay? But you're going to say that person's name. Lord, we can say it together. Come on. Lord, I trust you. I trust that you are who you say you are, that I am who you say I am, and that your story is the one that matters. I want to walk in obedience every day. So, Father, I choose to obey by forgiving. Now say this person's name. Tell him what's going on. Take a second. I choose to forgive this person. I choose to forgive what they did. I choose to forgive. I do it not because I want to, not because it feels good, but because I know that that's what you asked me to do. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing that's happening in this room, for the freedom that's happening in this room. All right, we're going to finish the prayer. Father, help me to walk in that forgiveness every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.